You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's teaching topic is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is one of the principal characters in the book of Revelation. He is evil, not just a symbol of evil. He is the personification of evil. Let me begin by sharing a brief overview of this evil world leader spoken of by Daniel, John, Jesus, and Paul. The Antichrist will be a man who is dwelt in by Satan. His objective is to destroy all that God loves. The Antichrist will feign humility, at least at first, but is exceedingly proud. The Bible refers to him as the man of sin. He will be able to manifest seemingly miraculous signs and wonders. He will even claim divinity, but he is not divine. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, he will, at first, hide his true nature. He will not be what he appears to be. Like the nefarious Superman villain, Lex Luthor, he will be crafty and cunning, but also malevolent and merciless. Hitler, Mao, Stalin, Genghis Khan, Nero, Caligula, Herod. These men were bad and had a thirst for blood. But the Antichrist, he will make them look like Mary Poppins. He will be the foremost villain in all of history. His hatred of God's plan and people, and the scope of the pain and suffering he will inflict on the world, will be unprecedented. In Daniel chapter 2, we read that the prophet had a vision of a statue made of different elements, gold, silver, and bronze. Daniel was given to understand that each part of the statue referenced a future kingdom. The feet of the statue, specifically the statue's 10 toes, referenced the 10-part kingdom of the last days, the kingdom the Antichrist will rule. Daniel 7 notes that the Antichrist will rise from 10 kings. Some believe he will assume control of 10 regions or nations. Some believe the Antichrist will oversee a 10-nation confederacy that is based in Europe and will be a form of a revived Roman Empire. Others believe he will build on the works of 10 notorious leaders through the ages. Individuals such as Alexander the Great or Nebuchadnezzar, Sirius or Caesar. Prophecy notes that as the Antichrist rises to power, 3 nations, or 3 kings, or 3 components of the system that he controls will rebel. But according to the prophet Daniel, that rebellion will be crushed, and a powerful new world government will rise, with the Antichrist emerging as the absolute ruler of the world. Though there are questions regarding the interpretation of the text, what is clear is that in time, the Antichrist will not just control a nation or a continent. He will control all major global systems, religion, the economy, government, military, everything. The Antichrist will be attractive, charismatic, politically savvy, and wise. Through backroom deals and stellar diplomacy, he will garner support and be thrust into power. Yes, leaders of the world will encourage him to step into power. He will appear to be a man of peace, But while he makes grand promises, he will be planning to kill millions. Many believe Daniel chapter 9 indicates that the Antichrist will come to power at the beginning of the prophet's 70 weeks prophecy. This can be a little difficult to follow. But in prophetic language, 1 week equals 7 years. This means the Antichrist's rise to power coincides with the last, or 70th week in Daniel's prophecy, and coincides with the 7 years of tribulation profiled in the book of Revelation. Most Bible scholars believe that the Antichrist will step into the world stage after leading in brokering a peace agreement with Israel and the nations at war with her. We read of this in Daniel 9. This means the 7-year tribulation period does not begin with a war or the rapture. It begins with an Israeli-focused peace agreement brokered by the Antichrist. That peace agreement will promise peace and security. Perhaps it will even grant Israel the right to rebuild the third temple. But the peace will not last. At first, the Antichrist will be hailed by the world as a wonderful and wise leader. He will introduce ideas that appear to solve many global issues. Many believe the world will be in chaos when he steps on the scene. Perhaps he will come in the aftermath of a war, a new pandemic, a financial crash, or the rapture of the church. Amid the chaos, he will step into the spotlight with plans and promises to save the world. His lies and promises will be attractive and convincing. The weary world, searching for hope and answers, will follow him. "Give me control, and I will bring peace and order to the world," he will say. "Trust in me, for I know the way," he will lie. He will mask his true agenda, and desperate nations will surrender control to this self-proclaimed man of peace. In time, he will dominate all major world systems and lead a one-world government. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, profiled in Revelation 6, provides an overview of what will happen during the tribulation period and what role the Antichrist will play as tribulation events unfold. But before moving on, I think it's important to make an important clarification.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
Vacation. Daniel chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9, Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, and Revelation 6 and 11 reference the Antichrist. That is, one particular man. Scholars today refer to him with a capital A, a proper noun, a title unique to one person. But the Apostle John, who was inspired to write the book of Revelation, also wrote three epistles. And in 1st and 2nd John, he uses the term Antichrist with no capital A. In 1 John 2, verse 18, and also in 1 John 4, verse 3, for example, John defines an Antichrist, small a, as one who opposes the will of God. John noted that in his day, there were many Antichrists, small a, many who opposed the will of God, and that in the last days, there would be many more. So, Scripture assigns two definitions to the term Antichrist. The word Antichrist, small a, refers to humans who intentionally work to oppose the will of God. The term Antichrist, capital A, refers to one particular human who will be indwelt by Satan himself and rise to power during the tribulation period. Let me share with you what the Bible says about that person, the Antichrist, capital A, referenced in the book of Revelation. The Antichrist will be indwelt by Satan and be able to manifest supernatural signs and wonders, deceiving the masses with demonic power. He will, by the midpoint of the tribulation period, claim to be divine. But Daniel 7, verse 24 to 25 indicates that the Antichrist will be a man. Philippians chapter 2 indicates that Jesus was 100% human, and yet, at the same time, 100% divine. He was both man and God at the same time. This unique fusion of divinity and humanity is sometimes referred to as the hypostatic union. Jesus was the first and last to have this dual nature. The Antichrist will claim divinity and demand to be worshipped as God. Revelation 13 indicates he will suffer an apparent fatal wound to the head and then appear to come back to life again. A kind of black and white version of the full-color resurrection of Jesus. But despite his claims, the Antichrist will be human. He is a human indwelt by Satan. Satan is not the creator. He does not create. He destroys and he mimics. In the book of Revelation, we see Satan mimicking the Trinity via the dragon, that's Satan, the beast, that's the human Antichrist, and the false prophet, another human who supports the work of the beast. The Antichrist will be a man, albeit an extraordinary man. In Daniel 8, we read that his countenance will be fierce. He will be proud, haughty, full of hubris, and will be able to intimidate many to acquiesce to his wishes. He will say he is a humble man of peace, but there will be an unmatched ferocity and viciousness about him. He will not hesitate to attempt to destroy all that stands in the way of his rise to absolute power. The Bible notes that he will be accompanied by a wonder-working partner, whom I've mentioned as the false prophet. The false prophet will champion the Antichrist's rise to power and will likely become the leader of the new global religion of the last days. He will be the chief supporter of whom Jesus called the abomination of desolation. Daniel 8, verse 25 notes that the Antichrist will cause craft to prosper. The key Hebrew word in that passage means deceiver, or one who leads in fraud, falsehood, guile, and treachery. Clearly, the character traits I have listed thus far are not positive. But most would say they are not unique. The Antichrist will be a liar. He will be a deceiver. He will hate God. That seems to describe many today. He will be a killer. He will be treacherous. He will be proud. He will have sycophant followers. He will claim to be God. He will manifest demonic power. Scholars argue that even these features are not unique. More than 100 men are known to have claimed to be God or claimed to have supernatural powers. But these negative qualities have been witnessed before. They are not new. What will be new is the scope and impact these amplified qualities will have on the earth. Revelation 6, verse 8, indicates that 1/4 of humanity will die in the first 4 seal judgments, which will take place in the first half of the tribulation period. Tribulations will come, and people will die, because they have been deceived by Satan. His representative during the tribulation period will be the Antichrist. Truly, if all turned to Christ and rejected Satan, there would not be a tribulation period. Therefore, the Antichrist will have the blood of billions of people on his hands. But that just takes us to the midpoint of the tribulation period. At that point, the persecution of people of faith will intensify. About this time, the Antichrist will suffer what appears to be a fatal wound to the head. There is some conjecture on this point, but most believe the Antichrist, a man, will die. But several days later, Satan will somehow take possession of the body, and it will appear that the man resurrected from the dead. The Antichrist will claim that he resurrected himself. This is another vain attempt to copy the ministry of Jesus, whom the Bible says laid his life down and raised it to life again. Many will be deceived. Many will proclaim the Antichrist to be divine. At this point, the Antichrist will have almost absolute control over the world systems, consolidating them into one world government, religion, and economy. Prophecy notes that a new, third Jewish temple will be rebuilt before the midpoint of the tribulation. The Antichrist will enter this temple, defile it, and there proclaim himself to be God and demand the world worship him. With the help of the false prophet, the Antichrist will usher in a new system to identify who is and who is not a loyal follower. To prove one's allegiance to the Antichrist, one will have to receive a mark of loyalty on their hand or their forehead. This mark is known as the mark of the beast. With cruel ingenuity, this mark will be tied to one's ability to buy or sell. The mark will likely be some kind of digital device that will track your movements and store your personal and financial information. Without the mark, it will not be possible to buy or sell. And it will likely not be possible to have a traditional job, attend a school, run a business, or receive medical care. In a best-case scenario, those who refuse to take the mark will suffer profound economic hardship. Many will let loose their homes and their business. Families will suffer. Many will starve or die for lack of medical care. But remember, that's the best-case scenario. Those who refuse the mark will be named as enemies of the state and hunted down like criminals. In Revelation 13, Scripture associates the mark with a number. That number is 666. Note, the Bible does not say all people who take the mark will somehow be branded with the number 666. But rather, the number 666 is associated with the beast, the Antichrist. Though it is not crystal clear, the number 666 likely has great symbolic value, and there will be many layers of interpretation. For example, the number 6 in Hebrew culture is associated with man, just as the number 7 is associated with God and the divine. Also, in Hebrew culture, to say something three times is the epitome of whatever you state. That's why often in Scripture, we do not read that God is holy. We read that God is holy, holy, holy. The word holy, repeated three times, indicates that God is the ultimate or highest expression of holiness. So, the number 666 could emphasize the human and imperfect nature of the Antichrist, which is particularly important because at that point in history, he will be claiming to be God and demand to be worshipped. Though there may be some debate or dispute about what the actual number of the mark indicates, there is no debate about what taking the mark means. Receiving the mark of the beast indicates one's loyalty and allegiance to the Antichrist. People who refuse the mark will be arrested and placed into modern-day concentration camps. Imagine the horror. Some may ask, what is so bad about taking the mark? Advocates of taking the mark will probably say that it's just a way to regulate or improve the economy, or a way to ensure the effective coordination of government services, such as medical care. Take the mark. Take care of your family, they will say. View it as an economic decision, a way to keep your job and buy groceries, they will say. But though taking the mark does have an economic component, taking the mark is not an economic decision. It is a spiritual decision. Those who take the mark are declaring their loyalty to the Antichrist. They are declaring that they believe he is divine, that he rose from the dead and is God. Yes, they will be coerced. Under threat, many will feel forced to take the mark. Revelation 13, verse 15 states, "The false prophet and his followers will cause those who do not worship the image of the Antichrist to be killed." But those who take the mark will have to pay a terrible spiritual price. God warns in Revelation 14, verse 9 to 11, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone, in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Those who take the mark will not be able to go to heaven. It is as simple and as terrible as that. The last half of the 3.5 years of the tribulation is known as the Great Tribulation. During this time, God will implore people to resist the beast and turn to him. Increasingly severe judgments, known as the vial or bowl judgments, will befall the earth. During this time, those who have taken the mark will contract painful, festering sores. The oceans will turn poisonous, and all life in the seas will die. Shipping will cease. Oxygen production will be impacted. Fresh water will turn to blood. Aquatic life will die. The light from the sun will be reduced. Ecosystems will be negatively impacted. A great darkness will come over the earth. So great and heavy will the darkness be that the scripture states, "Wicked will gnaw their tongues in agony." Still, the followers of Antichrist will not turn from their wicked ways. The waters of the great Euphrates River will dry up. A huge army from the east will seize the opportunity to march west and will ultimately share in the final battle of Armageddon. The earth will be rocked by an unprecedented earthquake. The calamity will be accompanied by flashes of lightning and hailstones as large as 100 pounds falling to earth. It is the willful disobedience of the Antichrist that provokes these final judgments. So terrible will this time be that Scripture says that were it not for God's intervention, no life would survive. Filled with rage, the Antichrist will coordinate a series of battle against Israel and followers of Christ who have gathered in Jerusalem. The last battle will be fought in a great plain, commonly known as Armageddon. The word comes from the Hebrew word Har Megiddon, which means Mount Megiddo, a small raised area in the vast plain where many noble battles throughout history have been fought. Antichrist will lead a huge army toward Jerusalem, outnumbering the followers of Christ many times over with his soldiers and weapons. At that last moment, when Jerusalem is surrounded, Christ will come from heaven, riding a glorious white horse, followed by those who were raptured or died as martyrs during the tribulation. The followers of the Antichrist will be consumed with just a word from Jesus Christ. The very word of God will conclude the battle of Armageddon. But the Antichrist and the false prophet will not perish with their followers. They will be captured by a mighty angel, bound, judged, and cast alive into the lake of fire. After Jesus rules the earth during what is known as the millennial reign of Christ, the Antichrist and all followers of Satan will be judged once and for all in what is known as the Great White Throne Judgment, referenced in Revelation 20. Followers of Satan will be cast into hell forever. The Antichrist will wield incredible power, but the ultimate victory belongs to Christ. Jesus will have the ultimate and final victory, and those who believe in him and are committed to live for him can share in his victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, we read, "Thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ." Yes, turbulent times are coming. The Antichrist is coming. But help is available. His name is Jesus. Our only hope is to align with Jesus and seek safety, strength, and salvation in him. God promises help and rescue to those who put their faith in Jesus. Those who walk with the Lord will be raptured. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 53 states that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, followers of Christ will be caught up and rescued from this world, saved from the tribulations and persecutions of the Antichrist that is to come. Those who believe in Jesus, confess their sins to Jesus, and follow Jesus will be raptured by Jesus and will not suffer the oppressive rule of the Antichrist. Don't be left behind. Put your faith and trust in Jesus today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.